This episode is dedicated to all those sleeping souls taken by death. It is also dedicated to those who have been left to live the rest of their lives on this earth without these people, regardless of how it happened, when it happened, or why it happened.
After a while, this too shall pass. After a while, scars will heal. You love again, it won't hurt you after a while. It won't hurt after a while. Stuck between if and when, you pray and try, but still no end. God's purpose soon you'll understand, that it won't hurt you after a while. It won't hurt you after a while. So when the pain has come to an end, and now your heart is whole again, help someone who needs to know that it won't hurt them after a while. It won't hurt them after a while. It won't hurt them after a while.
So much has been said about death, and despite the many things written and said about it, I don't think we're any closer to understanding it. Marcus Tullius Cicero was a Roman statesman, lawyer, scholar, philosopher, and academic skeptic. He once said, "The life of the dead is placed in the memory of the living." How true is that? We're often left to suffer the effects of having the memories of our dead while we still live. Sometime during his life, Marcus was beheaded. In this episode, we'll listen to a couple of experiences a few people have had with death. It's not the same for all of us. Maybe you might relate to one or two, or maybe none. Maybe you'll find comfort, or maybe you won't. But what we hope this episode will show you is that you are not alone. We're all taking this journey together, starting and leaving at different times. Welcome to Unfiltered Christianity. My name is Elrin Lovu, and I'll be joined with my co-host Sinawa Changela, and we want to take you on an auditory journey. Let's get into it.
Oh! Death has become a part of my life in the past 3 years, a part that I don't want. And it's also become a fear of mine, not because I fear dying, but because I fear losing those close to me. Since 2019, I've lost people close to me and people that were close to the people I care about. And it's brought on some feelings that I don't quite understand yet. I feel angry, sad, and guilty. Who knew death could come with guilt? The usual is sadness because you've lost somebody, but the one that I didn't understand was the guilt. I felt guilty because I lost two of my uncles and I barely knew them, so how could I feel sad when I barely knew them? Anger was brought on, especially when I lost my granddad, because I feel like he was taken too soon. And even though we all knew it was coming, and whenever I spoke to my family, they'd let me know, hey, Papa's not doing too well, so you need to do this. Or the nurses say Papa's on his last, send him a last voice note. I still felt angry because when I left, I didn't realize I wouldn't be coming home to him. I thought that 2 years later, I'd come home and see him. And that changed me because I realized that life is just so unpredictable. And there's no way I can say 2 years later, I'm going to see my mom or my dad. And that's crazy for me. And so now I try to gather as much memories as I can with the people around me. I've started taking more pictures so that I can have those to look back on if something happens. And I noticed that death for the people around me has both bridges that have been burnt previously because of who knows what reason. It's brought people closer, and I love it because there's people in my life now that I've always wanted in my life. And it's great to have them there. It's great to have family that wasn't always there. And even though it was brought about by a sad event, I can appreciate that. I feel like death is also the greatest oxymoron ever because it's this good thing when a person is sick. Like, at least he's resting. He's no longer suffering. Yeah, he's at peace now. But inside you, you're just like ripped up, tattered. There's no peace, there's no rest. It's just all this hurt and all these other feelings. And so that's just how I feel about death. It's just one big oxymoron in life. And it's confusing.
So I don't know about you, but I read quite broadly. That means I'm up to reading anything as long as I feel like it could add to my wisdom, my knowledge, the way I think and see things. So I can read like books on philosophy, self-help. I can read books on particular subject matter. I think the only thing I don't really read, I can't remember when I've ever read a novel. is novels, sorry. And one of the books I read the most is the Bible. Firstly, because I was brought up with it. We're taught to read it at a young age growing up. But then I never really stopped reading it. And I have continued till now. At first, of course, it was a religious thing. But now I really appreciate the wisdom in which it gives and the way it really touches on so far everything that pertains to life. So there's a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. And even though the Bible does talk about death in very interesting ways all throughout the Bible, I really appreciate the way the book of Ecclesiastes touches it. And I'm just going to read a short little portion just to give us an idea of the philosophy behind death, at least according to this book. And then we'll move forward. So this isn't a Bible study, by the way, but like I'm just trying to set the tone for what we're going to be talking about going forward. So it says in Ecclesiastes, "This too I carefully explored. Even though the actions of godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor. The same destiny ultimately awaits everyone, whether righteous or wicked, good or bad, ceremonially clean or unclean, religious or irreligious. Good people receive the same treatment as sinners, and people who make promises to God are treated like people who don't. It seems so wrong that everyone under the sun suffers the same fate. Already twisted by evil, people choose their own mad course, for they have no hope." Sheesh. "There's nothing ahead but death anyway." That's how it ends. "There's nothing ahead but death anyway." That's quite brutal. Gives us something to think about, doesn't it? But anyway.
I didn't used to think about death very much because it seemed useless to me. We don't have any evidence as to what happens after we die, and for me to either pursue the religious line, which is just to me fictional, or to pursue science, which is lacking in evidence, it was all far too abstract for me to be interesting. However, recently I've been noticing that the way we live our life is directly impacted by what we think happens after. And so I've been trying to sort of come up with my own vision of what death is, and just so I can live a better life, really. And so my conclusion at this stage, which is a very early conclusion, is that it's probably more of a transitional state rather than just a dramatic thing, you know. It's probably just a body decomposing and consciousness floating around a little bit until it finds somewhere else to just subtly settle down on. Yeah. And I lost a friend now during the pandemic. It wasn't due to COVID. We think he killed himself. And he was all the way back in Brazil, where I come from, and I currently live in the UK. So when I learned about his death, I wasn't even in Brazil. I learned about it just out of luck, really. I stumbled upon an article, a note saying that musician João Rosa had been found dead in his apartment in Rio de Janeiro, and with a very old low quality picture of him playing with his former band mates, and I could barely recognize him. So I did a post on Facebook summoning my our friends in common to see whether anyone else knew about this. No one knew anything, and so I wasn't even sure that that was my friend. And then I had to do a lot of research and reach out to other people on Facebook and to confirm his death, which was in itself already strange, because usually death is simpler. You learn about it via a friend in common, family, someone tells you it happened. So and then you have to handle it after you know about it. So in this case, I didn't even know what to feel and how to feel, because I didn't know whether it had actually happened. And also we hadn't spoken when I read this article about his death. I hadn't spoken to him in 10 years roughly, and we didn't end in very good terms. We finished we were estranged, and after fighting, so it wasn't, yeah, we had cut each other from each other's lives, and so I didn't have a good memory of him. And then I learned that he died, and then I felt all this wave of compassion that I didn't know where to put, because I'm not there, I can't even attend the funeral. None of our friends in common were talking to him either, and they're all in Brazil as well, so I can't even rely on them to just talk things through. So there was no mourning. I had to do it all on my own, and writing and thinking, and right before he passed, I think he was going through a bit of a crisis. So he had finally added me again on Facebook. I think he was trying to get back in touch, but it never went further than that. So I was considering what happened. Should I have responded and tried to save him from killing himself? And, should I have messaged him? I don't know. And also he was, I'm not perfect, but he was a very difficult person. He had a strange way of connecting with people, and the fact he was estranged from all of our common friends for the same reason. He would drink far too much and just pick fights, and so start arguments, nonsensical arguments, and you wouldn't even know why you're fighting. And he was really good at pushing buttons. I think he was a very troubled soul, and I think he really struggled with depression. He drank far too much. He was a bit older than all of us, so we went to university together. He was like really a really intelligent person. That was probably his second or third degree already. But we were all in our early 20s, whereas he was in his mid late 30s already. And he was a writer, he was a musician, he was one of the first, some people say the first mod in our home city, Curitiba, in Brazil. So he introduced me to the mod culture. He would drive me around in his Vespa, you know, in his little motorcycle. I hadn't even heard about the Kinks until he introduced me to those people, to those kinds of bands, you know. And so I do have fond memories of him. But it was quite conflicting to know that we hadn't been in touch for such a long time, and then had and I been lucky enough to stumble upon an article, I would never have known that he had died. And that's a very strange feeling to not even know that you lost something. It's really strange. And when I spoke to his brother as well, it was I didn't quite know what to say because I had few good things to say about him. I was quite glad not to have him in my life anymore because he wasn't a good influence in my life. I didn't necessarily feel guilty for not being there and not stopping him from committing suicide because I don't think I could have done that. And so what I said to his family was, I am very sorry for your loss, and I'm really glad I got to meet your family member because he was a very interesting character and an intriguing mind. And all of that was really wholeheartedly true.
But is there a way we can get over these losses we suffer, considering all the philosophies, spiritualism, religion, and self-help knowledge out there? Religion tells us that our losses are temporary. Philosophers like Epictetus tell us that men are not disturbed by things, but by the view in which they take of them. And then we have those souls that earnestly try to comfort us with words like, everything will be fine, you have me, take time to grieve and heal, it's necessary, and the countless other seemingly overused encouragements. I know they mean well, but sometimes these comforts can feel stale. It just isn't enough sometimes.
Yeah, you know, dude, death and grief is such a difficult thing to speak about, even though we live in a time where we wake up every day to the news that so-and-so has passed away. I mean, you go to your social media platforms, you go to the news, there's a lot of RIP, RIP, RIP. You know, so it's such a emotionally heavy conversation. And especially for me, because it's something that I am still battling with, you know. So for those who don't know, I recently lost my dad early this year. And I still remember the day I received the news like it was yesterday. You know, I remember when my brother-in-law broke the news to me, I didn't know how to react. You know, I just became numb. My mind was all over the place. You know, I think my heart was racing, you know. I mean, this was someone who I looked up to. You know, he was not only my father, but he was my friend, mentor, advisor, and literally everything. I mean, this was someone who I would speak to about everything because he was always available to lend an ear. And you know, one thing about my dad is that he had cultivated this culture of calling us every Saturday without fail. And I guess now this is why I don't like Saturdays, because they're a reminder that he's gone, you know, that he's no more. And, you know, the fact that I am now even speaking about him in past tense is like the wildest thing ever. I never thought I would be doing, you know. But anyway, in that moment, I then took a decision to suppress any form of emotion, you know, tried to be strong for my mom and my siblings, and just also focus on the matter at hand, which was to prepare for his funeral. And to be honest with you, I didn't want people around, man. But you know how things are traditionally, that you always have people coming in to offer some sort of comfort, you know, calling you to give you some words of encouragement and optimism, quoting Bible stories, you know, like your Lazarus, who, by the way, was brought back to life 4 days later, you know. And I know the story of Job because people reference that book a lot. But if you read the story of Job, you'll realize that he had a happy ending, you know. And I must say, I was also tired of the word condolences because that's what I would see every time I opened my phone. And I know all these words came from a good place in people's hearts. But to me, at the time, they were meaningless because I was still stuck on, why me? You know, why us? Why now? And why my dad? You know, anyway, post his funeral, I actually realized that a part of me died when my dad died. You know, that when the coffin went down, my life changed drastically. You know, then when me and my brothers, together with my dad's brothers, carried his casket to the grave, it was actually a reality and not a dream. You know, that experience left a huge dark hole inside of me that I need to still walk through. You see, the saddest thing about death is that sometimes you kind of like forget that those people are gone, especially if you weren't living with them full time. Like I wasn't living with my dad full time. You know, I've got times where I would pick up the phone and dial his number with the hope that he's going to answer. And then the realization hits me and it's back to square one and the pain hits harder again. You know, I've realized that grief lives out of space and time, that some days will be better and some will be the worst, and that it's actually okay not to be okay. So to everyone who's listening right now, I just want to say, live life, you know, but live life with the knowledge that at some point life is going to leave you. So be kind, be gentle, but most importantly, be full of love.
Get into a few stats. And in June 10, 2021, the Wall Street Journal analysis of Johns Hopkins data recorded that just under 2 million people died of COVID-19 globally this year. And this number continues to rise. That is just from COVID. Now imagine what the number rises to when you consider deaths from other diseases. Then onto that number, include those people who die from other causes like accidents and natural death. I'm pretty sure it's like a very crazy number, and I don't think we know what that number is. People are dying every single day. People have been dying before COVID, before AIDS, Ebola, before the natural disasters of the past 10 years. From the beginning of time, death has been this menacing thing. Most of the time, it seems like a faraway thing when the deaths are happening quite far from you, but doesn't it really move you when it hits close to home? I would actually not know where to start when it comes to death. I mean, what I can say is that death has affected me quite deeply over the past years. And I think now it's gotten to the point where you feel numb. Like, I mean, people will tell you that this person died. You'll see it on people's statuses and you just don't know what to say. You don't know how to respond. Sometimes you just take it and then you just move on. I don't know if it's internalized. I know, like at the moment, I try to duck and dodge people's statuses because nowadays, all I see on people's statuses is this person died, rest in peace, and so on and so forth. And for me, I don't know if it's because we're dying a lot more frequently or because the media has perpetuated the deaths that have happened because of COVID, that now whenever someone dies, we just post them and say this person died, and we don't even mention how they died. So all of us are thinking that they've died of COVID. I mean, all I'm saying is that it's really traumatizing me. I've lost a lot over the years, and I don't think I've quite fully dealt with these things properly. And it's not because I don't want to deal with them. I just don't know how to deal with them. I've learned that it's quite complex being a human. I don't understand myself half of the time. And now when it comes to matters of death, learning how to fully deal with that, I don't know. And I've been advised to seek therapy and stuff, and I do want to, but it's sad that, like, to be able to get certain healing, you'll need to pay for it. And I know there are free methods, but I guess I just need to put more effort into it. And sometimes I just wonder if you're just going to go and talk to a random person. Okay, yes, they've gone to school, they're trained for it, versus a trained doctor, versus just talking to a normal person, versus just talking to yourself. I don't know. In my 20s, I lost my mom. But before my mom, I actually lost my dad, and it was a shocker. This was a man who had so much pride. I really did not see him go anywhere. My whole life was really centered around my dad and my little sister at that time. And so it was just us three. And then all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, he just gets sick. He gets swelling on his feet. Next thing you know, he's in the hospital. And next thing, I'm doing things I never thought I'd do for my dad, brushing his teeth. Like, that was like a very heartbreaking, like, moment for me. It still haunts me now. Going to those hospital rooms to see him. And one night, it was a Wednesday, I remember, 11 p.m., I get a call from the doctor, and the doctor's like, your dad is gasping, and he passed away when I got there. And the first thing that hit my mind was my sister, because she was so close to him. I was still repairing my relationship with him, and it was better, for sure. And it's really sad that he left before we could really see the results of that. And that was really life-changing for me, because now my sister went to stay with her mom. And I mean, she's my mom, but not my blood mom. Well, complicated. Anyway, so yeah. And that for me was really hectic, because now I had to figure life on my own. My dad lived his life fully. He enjoyed, and at one point was super successful. But by the time he died, he had almost lost everything, as far as we know. And, you know, I basically had to start afresh, staying alone. And so much happened after that. I had people take advantage of me, but it was hectic. I then had to move to a whole new country, and it was challenging as well. And as if that wasn't enough, and then I lose my mom. And this happened within a period of a year to 2 years. It was hectic. I feel like a large part of me changed since then. You know, I've always been, I believed in God, like I still do, and I was Christian. But like, I feel like during that time, like, my faith really took a big hit, if I'm to call it that. But I stayed in there. But I just feel these things change you. Like, I feel like it changed me in a certain way. So the way my dad died, then my mom, and then, of course, there's other family members that died. My auntie followed, my cousin's husband then, and death is just continuing. And it's one thing seeing death like far from you, but like when it's so close to home, it hits you harder. And I feel like that changed my psyche in a way, because now I am so like hypochondriac. Like, I feel a sensation in my body. I think it's the worst. I think I'm going to die. I don't know how many times over the past 2 to 3 years, and this is 2021, that I've felt like I was going to die. And especially from the time COVID started, I started to experience things like panic attacks, backaches, this like headaches, stress, and you don't know if it's COVID, you don't know if it's, like I've diagnosed myself with so many diseases. And I get to a point where I actually feel I'm fine sometimes, like most of the time, I'm fine. And then I realize that it's stress or something, but it's changed my mentality so much that it's so toxic that like I feel I'm next, you know. I always feel I'm next and I'm always praying and I'm always hoping that maybe I'm just given a little more time because there's, I also feel like I was a late bloomer. I only started like coming out of myself when I was maybe 29, 30. I'm 31 now as of this recording, but like I'm finally feeling like I'm starting. And I know life is so unfair, and the philosophy of life is like, it doesn't matter how old you are, 10, 1, 30, whether you've just experienced yourself, whether you've been experiencing yourself, whether you reach or poor, it takes you any time. And I think for me, just understanding that makes me even more afraid. I mean, it's the issue of faith that gives me hope, but that also scares me. Faith tells me that, you know, everything is God's hands, his timing, best timing and all that stuff. But at the same time, he does whatever he wants. And when it's your time, it's your time. And it's not like he waits for you to be ready and done with your life. So that also scares me. Basically, I've just gotten to the point where I feel like I'm dealing with hypochondria a lot, always fearing death or feeling that my body is just deteriorating, or it's just going to shock me. I feel death in the sense that I won't be able to do certain things I want to do. I may not get married. I may not even get a decent relationship. I may not see my dreams come through. Sometimes I feel like I won't put in the next episode of Unfiltered Christianity out because of that. Like, it's been traumatic. And now I find it very difficult to support the people I love because I myself do not know how to deal with death. So if someone loses someone, I'm either a bit different or I'm blank. I just don't know how to comfort. Well, I'll comfort you that day and then I'm distracted. Like, I've been so much in my mind. Motivation to do stuff hasn't been great. It's affected me a lot. And now I'm ducking and dodging people's posts and statuses so that I see nothing about death because I just need a break. Sometimes, like, I feel like I need a break away from it. And that break is hard to get when in the news, which I've stopped paying attention to, social media, which I now duck and dodge, status, like, everywhere. People are talking about death. And sometimes I feel like we perpetuate it, we celebrate it in a way, or we, I don't know, like we manifest it by the amount of times we talk about it. There's so much good happening in this world, but we're focusing on death and death and death and death and death. And I feel like there's a power that draws it just as much as in my mind, if I keep manifesting, I'm sick, I keep manifesting, it's just going to mess up my body. And I feel like we do it subconsciously, and maybe it's a way that we heal ourselves. I really don't know, but I feel like it is in its own sense a manifestation. Are we supposed to pretend like it's not happening? Are we supposed to be jolly? No. What are we supposed to do exactly? I don't know, but I just feel it's part of the narrative that maybe world powers or media is trying to push, just the fear. And the more than necessary consciousness of death. But it is happening. I'm not dealing with it properly. Sometimes it even affects my desire to get married or to have a child because I feel I'll die or my spouse will die before me. Like, it is so disabling. It is so discouraging. And I'm just really trying to get out of that space, regardless of what's happening, to learn how to grieve, to learn how to deal with it properly, to learn how to heal the loneliness, and I don't know, just cope. But I mean, the journey goes on. Well, we've heard the stories of a couple of people, but I can guarantee you that everyone in this world has or will experience the loss that comes with death. I don't think we can ever understand it, and I also don't think we ever fully heal or get over it. Perhaps the only thing we can do is cope, leveraging on the community of people who are going through the same things for comfort. Unfortunately, for some of us, the loss is so unbearable that we choose harmful ways like drugs and stuff to cope, and some of us just end our lives altogether. I mean, this is also tragic, but if there's one thing I want to communicate with you, if there's one thing we all want to communicate with you, is that you are not alone, and that there's a community of people going through the same thing that are there to offer a shoulder to lean on. We certainly can't exhaust the topic of death in a single episode, but I hope that this at least opened up the conversation. Note that all the people mentioned in these quotes have died so far. They've lived and they died. I can only hope that they feel that their lives were purposeful, whatever that looks like. So we're going to close with someone who doesn't live anymore. He actually died some time back. But he had a great impact in the world, and his name was William Shakespeare. And he says, "Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing."